Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to my first podcast. Now, I will admit I am fairly new at this kind of thing, so I'm going to try to go through this here and not take up too much of your time, but I want to give you some information about estate planning and why it is so important for you and what you can gain from it and how we can get through that process. Who am I? Well, my name is Arthur J. Pauley, Jr. Most of my friends call me Art. In fact, my family nickname is actually Corky. But I am a lawyer. I am duly licensed to practice in California, and my office is located in Roseville. I have been a lawyer now since 1988. Before that, I was an insurance claims adjuster. I did that for almost 14 years with a company working in Los Angeles and Honolulu and then down in the Central Valley in Visalia and then Sacramento, working my way up to litigation specialist. And you know, frankly, I had reached a point where when I would settle claims, I was either paying a defense attorney or a plaintiff's attorney, and I thought, well, the attorney seems to be the common ground, so that's where I need to be. So I went back to law school, got my law degree, passed the bar in 1987, and went to work for Cigna Insurance Company as staff attorney for them. I worked for them for a couple of years and went on to Hartford Insurance Company as staff counsel. And after a few years there, decided that it was time to get out of the, as I call it, the war part of the practice of law, where you're constantly arguing with people, and getting into some place, some type of practice where I can actually help people go through a certain process. And that's why I got into estate planning. So that's really where I'm from, and I've been doing estate planning now for, 25 years. This would be my 25th year. I've got over 3,000 clients that I've worked with over those years, and it is a practice that I love doing. I love dealing with people, and I base my practice on what I call client-based estate planning, where I spend some time to meet with you, talk with you and your family, find out what your wants, wishes, and aspirations are for your estate, and we talk about how we can create that and make it work. So that's a little bit about my background and where we're going with this today. And I just wanted to talk a little bit, give you some basic information about estate planning, what it's all about. We're not going to get into an exhaustive estate planning course here. It's kind of what I refer to as estate planning 101. And I don't want to take up a lot of your time with a lot of things that we would ultimately be talking about when we actually would get together and meet. Now, I also want to mention that a lot of people I talk to, and I hear this from a lot of people, say that, well, you know, I can just go online. Why do I need to talk to you? I just go online and I can have documents drafted online. And that's true, you can. But I could tell you several stories of clients that have brought documents into me and asked me to review them. And before I would do that, I would sit down and say, well, let me ask you some questions about estate planning before we get into reviewing what you've done here. And every time, without fail, the clients always look at the documents, throw them away, and say, okay, Art, let's get together and do this properly. So I'm not taking anything away from online, but the problem with online is that you have nobody of any expertise to talk to about what you really want to do. And there's no real expert. All you're doing is getting a set of documents, a lot of times the same documents that were done for the client before you. Now, I will say that I do have a part on my website. If you go to the website, www.paulaylaw.com, I do have a program on there for online estate planning. And where I differ from these other online programs is you actually get to talk to me. We actually go over and answer your questions and talk about concerns. The only difference is we don't do it in a face-to-face meeting. We do it online and by phone. And to do that, we can save you some money. Usually on the smaller, simpler estates, it works fairly well. So you might want to take a look at that if that's something that you have in mind. Or if you know somebody that's thinking about online estate planning, go ahead and refer them to that. But let's get into what I call estate planning 101A. And really, there are three issues we talk about in estate planning. The first one is federal estate taxes and, you know, the death tax. And frankly, right now, it's really not an issue for 99% of the people in the United States, because the exemption from federal estate taxes right now is $5.49 million. So it's quite high, and not many people are up to that level. And if you're a couple, husband and wife, it's almost $11 million. So that usually is not a major issue. The other issue, though, is probate. And we're going to talk a little bit about probate to try to avoid that. But the third thing we talk about is family. And usually this is a lot more important to people, is what happens to their family. What are the issues within the family that they need to deal with? These are the kind of things that we want to know about. How do we deal with these? You know, I have had clients that have come to me and said, you know, I presented my family issues to this estate planning attorney, and all they said was, well, there's nothing we can do about that. And frankly, that tells me that the attorney doesn't know how to deal with those things. So you need to have somebody that really knows what they're doing with these kinds of things to be able to do them properly. But what is estate planning? Estate planning is a process that allows you to control your property while you're alive and well, plan for you and your loved ones if you already become mentally disabled, give what you want to who you want, when you want, and the way you want at the lowest possible overall cost to you and to those you love. You know, it incorporates the balance of a lot of things, financial, social, emotional, spiritual values. It's just establishing a meaningful legacy. Kind of like, what do you want to see happen after you, if you and your spouse or you were to pass on? What do you want to see going on after you're gone? How do you want that to look at? Well, what is an estate? You know, a lot of people ask that question. What is part of my estate? Well, everything you own, your investments, IRAs, bonds, jewelry, your home, your cash, insurance policies, cars, antiques, your income, everything is considered your estate. Anything you want to pass on to your family is your estate. And your estate, of course, includes your family. So, why should you have an estate plan? Well, you have planning goals. You certainly have common goals that you want to do for your estate. And you have to be able to state that to figure out what it is you want to do, how much money is going to be involved. And you want to minimize the leakage, the shrinkage out of the estate if something were to happen to you or you and your spouse. Now, a lot of things we do in estate planning, we talk about preparing guardians for the minor children, possible mental disabilities, helpers, who's going to be the trustees. There are a million questions that we go over that depends on each individual family and what the family wants to do. Now, a lot of things that typical wills, everybody says, I just need to do a will. You know, a will doesn't provide for your disability. It doesn't do anything for that. A will, basically, once you sign it, you put it on the shelf and you don't see it anymore. And it doesn't necessarily do what you want to do because everything ends up in the probate court. That's the second part, probate. Probate is part of the law in California, part of the court system, where when you die, everything that you own really starts being controlled by the court, even though you have stated an executor in your will. Now, you go to probate if you have a will, or if you do nothing, you still will end up in probate. So probate is something that we want to avoid, and the reasons why is, well, first of all, probate is public record. It is open to the public to come in and see what your entire estate was all about and all your family problems. Probate is a complex thing to get through the court system, and it's very expensive. In fact, probate right now, on an average, the cost to get through probate is about 5-7% of the gross value of your estate. What that means is you don't count mortgages, you don't count debts, expenses, you just add up the value of everything, and about 5-7% is what it's going to cost you to go through the probate process. So probate is something that you really want to avoid. You know, if you have a home and some assets and just a modest estate of, you know, $600,000-$700,000, you could be talking anywhere from $30,000-$40,000 in probate fees that could all be avoided. So it is something that you want to avoid. And most anybody that I've ever talked to that's ever experienced probate, they know that it's something that you really, really want to avoid doing is going through probate. Well, how do you do that? How do you avoid going through probate? Well, there are a couple of ways of avoiding it. You can give everything away. You can take all of your assets and give them to your kids. Usually not a very smart idea because now you no longer have those assets. Or you could do some type of vehicle where you no longer have them, but they're controlled by somebody else. A lot of times that's not a very good idea either. Or you could do what we call a revocable living trust. Now, in California, if you own real estate, generally you're going to go through probate and of some type in California with real estate. Now, that means that property, most anybody that owns property needs to be doing some kind of estate planning, usually with a revocable living trust. Also, if your estate outside of the real estate is valued at more than $150,000, you're going to end up in probate. So you need to be looking at doing an estate plan when you're over that amount of money. So those are kind of some of the initial parameters that you want to take a look at when you're planning for your estate. Well, what is a revocable living trust? It is exactly what it says it is. It is revocable, which means you can change it anytime you want to change it. It's not something that's locked in stone. A trust is a document where you lay out in this trust your wishes for what you want to see happen if something were to happen to you, if you became mentally incompetent or if you were to die, and along with your family and your spouse, it's instructions that are laid out for them. It involves assets that we transfer into the name of the trust, and also involves a trustee. This is one of the areas that we run into a lot of questions about. Who should be the trustee? You know, a lot of people look at it and say, well, my kids could be the trustees, and that's absolutely true. Your kids can do that. They can be trustees. But the question comes up is, do you want them to be a trustee? That certainly is a question, and it's a decision that you would have to make and something we would talk about in some detail as far as what does a trustee have to do and why it is important that you have someone that you can trust. That's the key to it. Someone that will open up those documents and do exactly what it is you want it to have done with your estate. That's what your trustee does. And we're not going to get into all the details here on this little short blurb, but the trustee is very important. And of course, you have beneficiaries, and those are your family, whoever your beneficiaries, your heirs happen to be, however you would want to do that. And, you know, the planning also involves special needs for maybe a family member, maybe disinheriting, you know, family member. I don't normally recommend that, but there are ways of doing that to make the impact of it a little less on your family in the long run. So we can talk more about those issues. But family is a major thing that we deal with when it comes to doing estate plan. So the living trust is the basis, the start of what we look at when we start doing estate planning. But there are documents that go along with that to make sure that it's going to work. We want to make sure that we have a lot of things in place that are going to make that trust work well. First thing we're going to do are called pour over wills. And really all they do is they are will, just like wills that we've always done in the past. But we find that invariably people will have a living trust and they'll go through life and they'll buy and sell property, acquire assets, do all kinds of things, and forget to put the assets into the name of the trust after we do that initially. When that happens, if you were to die and there's assets out there that are not named in your trust, then they end up going through probate. But the pour over will pours those assets into the living trust. So at least the provisions of the trust will be there. But then again, the will is going to go through probate. So we don't want to count on that as a way of getting assets in. And we will talk in detail if we were to get together about funding the trust properly. You also need to have a certificate of trust, which is what I call a mini trust. It's according to the California Probate Code, and it's just a certificate that says you are the trustee, this is your trust, it is valid, you have the authority to deal with the property, and there's some things on there about the probate code. It is signed and notarized, and that is what you give to banks and title companies and other people that want to see the trust. Because the trust is a private document, it's not recorded anywhere, it is yours for your family. We also make sure you have durable powers of attorney for property. Again, in case there's property that's not in the name of the trust, and you were to become mentally incompetent. You have named somebody that can deal with your assets, can deal with those things that are not inside the trust through the durable power of attorney. We take care of advanced directives for health care. You name somebody, they'll make the health care decisions for you if you need to. The big one is, do you want to be kept alive artificially? That's one of the big decisions that are part of the advanced directive. We also do HIPAA authorizations, H-I-P-A-A, to protect your medical records, where you name the people that you want to have get access to your medical records. We do a general transfer agreement, which is basically an agreement that says, I want everything to belong to my trust. It's kind of a blanket transfer of property into the trust. We do a community property agreement, and I won't get into all the details of why that's important, but it could save your family much, much money in capital gains taxes by using a community property agreement. And, of course, there's the funding documents. The deeds to the houses and the properties have to be properly transferred over to the trust. Bank accounts transferred. We have to take a look at your IRAs, your stocks, mutual funds, all of your accounts that you might have, and how is the best way to include those into your estate plan so we make sure that they don't end up in the probate court. So those documents are all very important. And if you're looking at doing a trust, or if you've already done one, take a look and see if you've got all of these. If you're missing some of these, then you may want to take another look at whether or not you've got this done correctly and need to be updated. By the way, talking about updates, that question comes up quite a bit. But right now, we try to update these things, at least get back in touch with people, about every 5, 6, maybe 7 years. I was talking to an associate of mine over at one of the credit unions here in town, and she was telling me that their credit union, they really don't honor durable powers of attorney that are more than 5 years old. And of course, I have a lot of problems with that because it's not legal to do that. But again, you're going to be fighting with their legal department. You're going to be fighting all the time to get them to honor the power of attorney. So we just look at them every 5 to 6 years, 7 years, and update those to make sure they're always dated. Just something you might want to think about if you're looking at your own estate planning. So that's a little bit about estate planning 101. I mean, the idea is to get the property into your family, in your family's hands, the way you want it to go, when you want it to go, and how you want it to go, without the hassle of the probate court, without a lot of the legal tanglements that go in to get involved in the whole thing, and putting documents there that will help your family get this done, and that's the point of it. Now, I know it's a lot of work up front, and people don't like talking about when you die, what you want to do. It's just not a comfortable thing, but it is a necessity right now. It is something that really needs to be done, and most people look at it and say, you know, I got to get this done, and I don't really like doing it, but it's something I have to do for the peace of mind of my family. I will tell you, frankly, that a lot of the clients that I get are coming to me saying, hey, Art, you know, my father just died, or my brother or nephews or whatever died, and their estate is a mess, and I don't want mine to be that way, so we need to get this estate planning done. It's unfortunate that people wait until there's some kind of a catastrophe to get their estate planning done, but nevertheless, that does happen. Hopefully, that's not going to be you, that you're going to be able to listen to this, and you'll give me a call, and we'll be able to get started on getting your estate planning done, whether it be in person or whether it be online, as I'd mentioned earlier. Now, I will also tell you, when I talk about client-based estate planning, I do visit people in their homes and businesses. I've been doing that my entire time as an estate planner. I really don't like sitting around my office. I would rather be out meeting people. That's where I do my best work, is out meeting with people, helping them through this process, helping them to get the questions answered that they need to have answered, and offer people my, what I call, CERP. My knowledge, okay? My experience, resources, and philosophy on getting estate planning done properly. That's what I offer you, and that's what you need to have. Anything short of that, and you're not being doing this correctly. You need to get this done correctly. So I hope this was informative to you. I hope you will give me a call and see if we can be of some help to you. Again, my name is Art Pauly, P-A-U-L-Y. You can email me at Art Pauly, A-R-T-P-A-U-L-Y, at paulylaw.com. Give me a call, area code 916-207-7526. You can go to my website, which is www.paulylaw.com. I do have a business Facebook. I'm on LinkedIn, and yeah, I'm an old fogey, but I am on all of those sites. I'm trying to get in all of that. You'll find that when you do get together and meet with me, all you're going to see me bring is not a computer, but a yellow pad. That's what I do my planning on, is still with a yellow pad, because I want it to be personal to you, and that's what I offer you, is personal estate planning. I'm going to leave you with this one thought, and this has kind of been my motto through my entire estate planning, is if you don't have a plan for your estate, the state does. So you need to get this done. Give me a call. Thank you for taking the time to listen to this. Pass it on to your family and friends, and let them find out if they need to be involved in doing their estate planning also. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, and goodbye for now.